are listening to the WorshipWednesday.com podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the WorshipWednesday.com podcast. I'm your host, Rob Reed, and today I have another treat for you. This is Jason Sears, a worship pastor from Birmingham, Alabama at Oak Mountain Church. I'm sure you folks at Oak Mountain Church are very proud of this young man, probably younger than me, so that's going to qualify him as young, is my guess. He happens to play with Laura Story when she goes out full band and goes on the musical tour, if you will. Laura Story, you might know, is most famous probably for writing a song that I lead at our church called Indescribable, performed by Chris Tomlin. So without further ado, let's get into this this brief interview where I talk with Jason Sears, who is a very, very talented songwriter. You can tell his influence when you listen to the song that is a rehash of an old hymn, and that he did an amazing job with a young lady called named Carly Means. I think you'll enjoy that song, and that will come at the end of the interview. But you can hear that Elton John kind of influence there with this excellent piano. So here's my interview with Jason. All right, everybody. I'm with Jason Sears at jasonsears.com. We're going to find out some more information about him, and I'm just going to ask him some questions from the stuff that you could find in the blog entry at worshipwednesday.com. How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Sure. No, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. And you had talked about on the Twitter style testimony, which I know doesn't give you an opportunity to say a lot. You said that you figured out in college what it meant to walk with Christ. If you could expound a little bit on that and how you found Jesus for the audience.
Sure. Well, I was born in a Christian home, raised in a Christian home. I didn't know a time. I can't remember a time where I didn't know who Christ was. It wasn't, though, until getting into college and really figuring out that my faith had to be my own. And not something that was appropriated for my parents. And so it wasn't until just kind of some refining time in college that I was really brought to an awareness of what grace was and how it not only saves me but sanctifies me and just the ownership that I took of my faith in college. If I had to look back to a day when conversion happened, it's hard to point to that day, but I think my walk with Christ became personal and real when I was going through college.
Awesome. Did you get involved? Did you go to a Christian school, or did you get involved with Campus Crusade or anything like that?
I went to Samford University, which is used to be affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. I think they've broken affiliation since then. But Christian campus. Didn't go there because of that. Went there because of the piano program that they had. So went to Stanford University.
Awesome. And you're a worship pastor at Oak Mountain Church in Birmingham, Alabama. How long have you been doing that?
Been here for over 7 years now. And before I came here, I was on staff at Perimeter Church in Atlanta. And then I went to one of Perimeter's church plants in South Atlanta in a city called Noonan, Georgia, and served there for 3 years and have been here at Oak Mountain for over 7 years now.
Is that your full-time position there as worship pastor? Like, that's your job, or?
It is. It's what I do for a living. It's kind of crazy that I'm a minister. I didn't go to school with the intent of being in the ministry. My wife and I look back now at just what, you know, what we thought our career path was going to be and kind of ended up falling backwards into ministry. And I get to do what I love to do every day and work with people that are excellent missions and really just have a ton of freedom here. So it's really quite a blessing to be able to spend my life working on the stuff and doing it, obviously, all for the glory of God.
Great. Amen. Now, I'm looking at some of your musical influences. Now, you mentioned Elton John, Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
And the Gabe Dixon Band. And those are some interesting influences to bring about. I didn't see any particular Christian-related. I know you talk about Christian-related later. We'll talk about that. But if you could talk about your secular musical influences, I'd like to hear about that.
Sure. I mean, I'm a classically trained pianist. I started taking piano lessons when I was 7, and then I have a degree in piano performance, and that was a classical study program. But I also grew up enjoying the music and listening to Elton John. I play most of his stuff. I've done some Elton John cover concerts actually here at the church for some appreciation banquets that we've done, and I found that his style of piano playing, the accompanying style that he does, really kind of transcends, really kind of helps serve as a foundation for the style of piano that I do when I'm leading worship, and how to fit into a praise band. So, but just have really enjoyed his music. You know, there's other guys too. Gabe Dixon, it's not necessarily an influence. I've found him recently in the last couple of years. I kind of dig his grooves, and he's doing, you know, the piano, bass, and drums combo thing, which is a rare sound to find these days. You know, other musical influences, Coldplay and The Fray, and but you know, I kind of run the gamut and really span the spectrum of music when it comes to genre and musical influence. Beethoven and Rachmaninoff is just kind of a they were pretty serious dudes when it came to the piano score that they wrote, and I studied a lot of it when I was in school, and I appreciate the emotion behind the music they did.
Great. Well, I'm going to have to take a look at Gabe Dixon. I don't know him, but Elton John, his song, Your Song, is sort of my go-to whenever I'm doing karaoke. That's like the first one that I'm going to hit. So that one I love. I see that you play piano and sing for Laura Story, who I know because I, at my church, Lifehouse in Northridge, California, I'm the guy that leads Indescribable. So I know Laura Story quite well. That's what she's obviously well known for. How did you get that gig?
Yeah, that's a funny story too. We actually, she and I met at a conference that we were at through a mutual friend that I knew from Perimeter, and I knew him from school as well. He was at this conference with her, and she and I met, and then I bumped into her at the National Worship Leader Conference, which was like 4 months later. And she said, "Hey, don't you play piano and sing?" I said, "I do." She said, "Well, I've got to lead worship for this session. Could you play for me and sing for me?" And she'd never heard me play or sing before. And so I went and grabbed my iPod and listened to her album out in the rental car for a couple hours, and sat down and played, and obviously went well. And so she and I've been playing ever since. And she takes me on the road with her when she kind of has two different sets that she'll do. She'll do one with a band, and then she'll do like an acoustic duo thing where it's just me and her. And so I've been doing that for a few years now.
That's awesome. I hope to see you then sometime. Maybe I'll get to meet you in person. Let's see what else. Your favorite Bible verse is Galatians 4:6. Do you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I love verses that talk about, first of all, that talk about our worship, but then put it in the context of what I think is our proper position in worship. I'm a Reformed guy. I served at a Presbyterian church, and I believe that God had to love us before we were enabled to love him. And so it's a quick verse, and it just reminds me that God sent his Spirit into our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Love that. Now, you are supplying a song, an MP3, that we're going to put on the worshipwednesday.com website, and I'm going to play it at the end of this interview right now. And so shortly after, we're almost done right now. Can you tell us what it's called and what it's about, maybe what inspired the song?
Yeah, cool. It's actually a hymn rewrite. I've got some original stuff, but I just sent that one over because it's one that I enjoy and still listen to. It's the text of "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," just kind of set in a different musical setting. One that really kind of spoke to me as far as what the text is saying and what I felt the emotion of the music needed to carry as well. So I wrote it probably 6 years ago. You know, we do it here corporately, and a couple of the churches around town have done it corporately, and it seems to work well. Just love the text, and really enjoyed what the text was speaking to me. And so put it to this different musical setting.
It's awesome, and I want to thank you for allowing the listeners to be able to hear that, to discover your music. I know your music is available at jasonsears.com, Sears like the department store, right?
Yep.
And I just noticed on iTunes there's a live album up there that I saw that just went up.
Yeah, we just got that up within the last week. It's just a collection over the last year of some of my favorite stuff that we do here at church. And have done, you know, live recordings, and I always say that live means live, because we actually, the thing that I'm most proud about those recordings is we didn't go back to the studio and fix anything. It's all what happened that Sunday, those given Sundays. So it's a variety of musical styles. Some is with my choir, some is with just a praise team, some is just me and another girl doing a duet kind of style. So, but yeah.
Oak Mountain, is it a mega type church, or is it like medium size? How big is Oak Mountain Church?
You know, it depends on how you define mega church. We're 2,500 members, but we're not the biggest church in the area. So it's a decent size. I enjoy serving here as far as the size goes. So.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you, Jason, for your service for the Lord, for your being a beacon of light for others. And I hope that you continue to do that. I hope that God continues to bless you, and that he blesses us through you with your music. I want to thank you again for participating in this. And if you ever have something coming out, a new CD, I think you have something coming out in the fall, or was it this live CD?
No, I've got something coming out later this fall. It's it's just another disc of originals. So
great. I look forward to that. Thank you, Brother Jason, for talking to me, and God bless you, bro.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, it was a pleasure talking with Jason. I hope you enjoyed that. I know that you will enjoy this great piece of music. Jason Sears has a Facebook. I don't know if he accepts non-friends or what. But what I will tell you is his Twitter is @Jason_Sears. You can check him out there and jasonsears.com. But for now, this rehash sung by a young lady, Carly Means, who I unfortunately didn't get to talk to Jason much about. But maybe I'll be talking to Jason another time relatively soon, or maybe Carly puts out her own music. And if you're listening to this, Carly, and you do write your own music, feel free to contact me at rob@worshipwednesday.com. And anybody can at rob@worshipwednesday.com. Contact me, let me know about the music you're doing, and that you'd like to be featured on the worshipwednesday.com website. The Twitter is @worshipwed, and obviously the website is worshipwednesday.com. So we end off here with a rehash of the old hymnal by George Matheson called "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," simply called "O Love," with the instrumentation performed by Jason Sears. And I'm pretty sure he does the backup vocal, which is awesome, and sung by Carly Means. God bless. I'll talk to you next week.